What side of the bed did you get up on this morning?
Last couple months, Sonia and I have been dealing with some, relatively health issues, minor health issues, but they enough to sideline you from doing the stuff that you really feel like you should be doing and makes you cranky when you wake up. And you wonder why you're up and moving around at all. I just want to go back to bed. When you woke up this morning, who gave you the orders to get out of bed? Who told you to get up and what you were going to do today? I see you're at church. Maybe those who are listening nearby as well. Who told you to do what you're doing? Who told you to do what you were doing yesterday and last week? And sometimes we feel like we're kind of being nudged along, sometimes even drug along. Like, I'm going to drag this person, I'm going to drag Raymond through the day. There's a lot of things that it seems like we don't have charge over. We don't have command over. And in some ways, in fact, many ways, that's the way it should be for a sinner such as I. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to drag me along in my normal everyday life. Now think about this, especially when you have somebody who's out to kill you. Satan himself. And the world is against all that we believe and stand for. And so much more talk about the dark hours that we're in. And this, are we still dealing with Russiagate and Hunter Biden? We're in a place where we need a lot of help, and we need a lot of direction. And without direction, we can be like that feather in the wind. You ever seen a leaf on a stream, a fast-moving stream, where it can only go where it's told to go? We need direction and help. We need marching orders. And it's really interesting that Charmaine picked, the Holy Spirit picked the Republic, the battle hymn of the Republic this morning. I mean, it's not Independence Day. It's not Election Day. But it feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like we need, I was reading a story about George Reeves, the guy who played the first Superman. How tragically his life ended. Superman, he's not supposed to die the way he did. But if we're looking to any man, any person, even our great nation, to stand the test of Satan, we're looking in the wrong direction. We need help. And Paul knew this, and he takes the one person that he loved on the planet more than anybody else, Timothy. He calls him his true child in the faith. When you have children, they're as close as, anything else besides maybe your spouse. That the child, you want the best for them. You want to give them a charge. You want to help them. You want to give them the power to succeed, and you know you can't, right? Like, I really want them to succeed, and you can't make them or help them succeed. But in the faith, it's even more so. In Christianity, you I said, you can't help. You can help. And we're going to show that. But we need God. We need God to succeed what has come against not only this nation, but we will find, as this thing continues, we will find it is against the church. And it is against God himself. Where do we get our marching orders? Paul said to Timothy in this letter to the son that he loves, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior, and Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This looks really, really similar to Paul's letter to the Philippians and the Corinthians and the Thessalonians, and it looks very similar, and there's a lot of the same words, but it is not the same. It's not the same. And it's not something you would think that I'm gonna write to my dear son, and I love you so much, and you know, this is what I hope for you, and you know, we've been talking about sentiment lately, where you just give him these sentimental words because they are from your heart. It's what you feel, right? It's what you feel. It's what you feel. I want to write to my kids who are going off to graduation, going off to high school, going off to get married. This is what I want to write to them because I love them so much. And we do. And hopefully you've told them that all your life. But now when it's time for graduation, what are you going to tell them? What's Paul going to tell his son? What's Paul going to tell the church? And this entry here is different and it's important. Paul, to his son, says, Paul, Timothy, I want you to remember something. I'm an apostle of Christ. First and foremost, I'm not your dad in the faith. That's not the first thing he says. He doesn't give him sentiment. He says, I'm an apostle by Christ Jesus. So there's the authority, right? Now, Timothy didn't need to know that, did he? Well, he needed to be reminded always of it. Always. Because Timothy, then, who are you? And then, when Timothy's talking to the church, see, Timothy, who do you think you are? And then the elders that he teaches and the people that he teaches, and they're going to say, because the world says to you, who do you think you are? Now, we don't come off that way, hopefully, do we? We don't come off all prideful and I've got the only answer, you know. You've got the only answer to the only way because God gave it to you. Because he revealed it to your eyes. He opened your heart to receive it. None is righteous, no, not one. There is not one that seeks after God. That's what the scriptures say. So, boy, right there we just open up our hands and our eyes and our heart to the Lord and say, thank you. Do you know how you got here? I don't know how I got here, except that you opened my heart and my eyes, and I can't be more grateful. So Paul has been given, and this word's going to come up, but I'm just going to use it now, charge. A charge of Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say Jesus Christ? And John MacArthur picked up on this. That so many times it's Jesus Christ the Lord, Jesus Christ. He uses Christ first. Why? Because he wants to lay aside the sentiment. Again, back to that word. What's Christ mean? Messiah. The Messiah, Jesus. I'm an apostle of the King of the planet. And his name is Jesus. And that apostleship came by, here's the word, the command of our God, which Paul doesn't use again. The command, this word, is a royal command. It means from above, from a king. Epitage. And watch again, another change, God our Savior, which you will not find in the New Testament. God our Savior. Where does that come from? That's an Old Testament title. God our Savior. God our Deliverer. And then he says again, of Christ Jesus our hope. In this Messiah, in this man sent by God, his name is Jesus, is our hope. Not just my hope, not Paul's, not just Paul's, but Timothy, yours and mine. Yours and mine. And again, now I want you to start thinking, put this chain together as we go forward here. God has sent his son to die for you. This charge, the message, is sent to Paul to give to Timothy, to give to the church. That's you. It's not 2,000 years ago. This living organism is still alive. The church is still being built up in a holy place, Peter says. As a stone, you're a stone, a living stone, gets put into this building, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus as a cornerstone, and then he's going to cap. He's the capstone. He's the beginning and the end. And you're a stone that gets put in someplace in this house. And so God is doing this through his son, for his son, because of his son. He's giving it to Paul and Timothy and the church. And Timothy just happens to be a true child in the faith. In other words, Paul directly led him to Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Indirectly, we can be sons of Abraham and sons of Paul, even in a way, indirectly because of these letters. But directly, he met Paul at Lystra. Acts chapter 16. He was saved. Well, he was probably saved before then. Remember, through his mother and his grandmother. And then he went with Paul. And then he says, because of all this, because he's our Savior, he's our Deliverer, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when he does that last sentence there, what is he doing there? See, the command is from God, and the deliverance is from God, and Jesus Christ is from God, and my apostleship is from God. It's all from God. And yet, in the last line, the grace and peace and mercy come from God the Father and Jesus. How can you do that? Two people in one. That makes them equal. God and Jesus, they give you the peace. They give you the grace. They give you the mercy. They are the same essence. The same triune God. So because of all this, Paul is establishing his authority as an apostle. And speaking to his son, above everything, you know I love you. We've talked on the trail. We've been on with each other for years and years. You know how I feel. But we're gonna talk about the important thing. That we're sons of the living God. And we're in the same hope. And we have this in the same person. And now I'm going to charge you. I'm going to charge you. Now, on their, can you think about this for a second? On when he met him in Lystra, they left together, and then from there, Timothy went to prison. Timothy went on the ships and on the trails, and he starved with him, and he rejoiced with him, and sung with him, and saved with him, and lost with him, and all of these experiences that Timothy had with Paul after that, they paralleled each other. And through their life, when they're sitting having a hot dog, they wouldn't have hot dogs, okay? They're sitting by the fire, having their dinner. And when they're going across on the ships, and when they're doing all these things, they're doing life together. They're doing life together. And in all of that, they're doing it for one reason: God. They looked different. They weren't from the same family. They probably didn't like the same foods. They talked differently, at least different accents, all kinds of differences, but they lived the same and they looked spiritually the same. And they did the same things for God. So in all those things that he did, in all those things, likewise in this letter, Paul is going to talk about all that kind of stuff in our life. You know, he's going to talk about false teachers and apostates and mercy and faith and law and prophecy and ministry and men and women leaders and qualifications of them and worship, discipleship. He's going to talk about family life, widowhood, slaves, masters, godliness. All of those in this little letter. He's going to take kind of glimpses of their life and say, this is what we believe. This is what we lived. This is what you are to live. Because God has given you a charge. God has given you a command. Now, before we begin, get into this letter, and this is going to be the series of 1 Peter, and I think we'll go into 2 Peter next, but before we get there, before we get into any of this, we need to understand something, that Paul's going to focus on the law here. And so, I don't know about you, but even as a teacher, preacher, you know, and all that kind of stuff, whenever it comes up, I go, you know, I don't have too many communications with people about the law. You know, I don't have any, there's really no issues there. I run into some legalists, right? We have talks with legalists. We have talks with those who are too flighty with the law, if you will, who just, you know, I don't care about the law. Doesn't appeal to me, and it doesn't, you know, doesn't have anything to do with me. Okay, and we're not talking about Highway 55 going 55. We're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about the law of God, the commands of God. Well, first of all, it has everything to do with us. But the reason behind why we keep the law is the big deal, isn't it? The reason why I don't speed, hopefully, you know, don't cuss, I don't commit adultery, I don't do these things, is because I love God and I'm going to keep what pleases him. I'm going to keep his law the best of my ability, but I'm surely not going to keep it to try to live by it, because then I'm going to fail and die. Okay. Now, but see, that's the point. Because see, back then, you must keep the law through the Jewish tradition. Keep the law or die. Right? Well, Satan hasn't changed. So we think, well, I don't have to keep the law and die. Yeah. So let me lie to you in a different way. See, that's Satan's tact. So you see, Jesus, you know, let's talk about some things that we're dealing with today. In the church, did Jesus live a sinless life? Yes. He's never sinned. Is Jesus God incarnate? Yes. Is Jesus the only way? Yes. And we go through all of these kinds of things to find out, you know, I may not be dealing with the Ten Commandments so much, but I am dealing with some heresy here. And I'm dealing with some other things that people say, well, no, wait a minute. If God so loved the world, there's got to be more than one way, because, you know, those people in that little church, they can't have, they're not the only ones that can have the answer. That just doesn't, watch, that doesn't make any sense. Did God really say, Satan says, right? That's how Satan came. Did God really say? And Eve should have said, yes, he did. Because Jesus did. When Satan came along and said, you know, the Bible says, and Jesus said, let me tell you what it really says. Here's what it says. Jesus is the only way. So whatever counterfeit $100 bill you receive, whether it's from one message or another, one hand or another, one event or another, still the same, right? It's still counterfeit. It's still a problem between you and the law. Any counterfeit gospel is still a problem. And we need to know that. And again, the whole, remember that whole idea? How do you know the counterfeit? It's very, very, very simple. You know the truth. A simple truth. A simple message. It is so simple. And yet, people give into it. Oh, there's got to be more to it. That doesn't make any sense to me. Jesus can't be the only way. Jesus, there's no way that he lived a sinless life. There's no way he had to say something. He had to say something bad one time. He had to look at somebody wrong one time. One time. And you and I would say, no, no. Because God said he didn't. And God was incarnate, and he didn't. Now, I know that may be hard for you to believe, but I believe it.
Amen.
No matter what. No matter what, folks. That's the charge. Do you believe what the Bible says? And it doesn't matter the consequences, and it doesn't matter the other story. Like, listen, guys, that doesn't make any sense. Come on, let's think about it. I don't have to think about it. I have to read and believe. But Paul is taking this, and he's saying, okay, here's the simple message. It's really simple. Now, intertwine that in all of your life. All of it. All of it. Whether you're fishing, whether you're golfing, whether you're riding bikes, fixing houses, mowing lawns. It doesn't matter. Because you have a thought process you got to worry about. Your lips. How you feel towards somebody. How I'm going to act towards somebody. How I'm going to think towards somebody. It affects all of my life. This simple message. Jesus is my Lord. I love him and I'm so grateful to him. I'm so grateful to the Father that I'm not going to think, act, say stupid stuff. Am I going to make mistakes? Yeah. Then I'm going to confess them and then I'm going to keep going. All right? Because we're even sinning if we say we don't sin. We confess those sins and we move on. Because it's God's command. So that heresy is the same. It's the same. Jesus can't be the way. Jesus can't be the only way. Okay? But the command, the royal command is that he is, and tell the world that he is. So this letter is to Timothy. It's written down for him. So that, why do you think he wrote it down, Paul? Now, we know that why the Holy Spirit has written down. We know why God says, okay, see, you know, 2,000 years later, you know, it's got to be preached at Redeeming Grace. Okay, we understand that. But why is Paul telling Timothy? Why is Paul writing it to Timothy? Timothy, here's your charge. Don't forget it. And by the way, read it to the church. And he's going to say to them, don't let anybody look down on your youth. You stand up and you read this letter. Read it to them, because this is the charge from the apostle, from and of Jesus Christ and of God. And I'm commanding you to take it forward. So in doing that, it's written down. That becomes God's word. It comes to this church, and the very same authority has been given to me, and to Gary, and to you. You say, wait a minute, I don't teach. Yes, you do. You may not have the gift and position of an official teacher, but are you an ambassador to God? Everybody is an ambassador. What's an ambassador do? Here's my message. Here's the message from the king, the command, the epitage, the royal command, believe on Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That right there's your message. And you have it, and you have the charge, and now you have the authority. Take your authority with you wherever you go, in heart and mind, and in the book itself if you need. It's written down for him. It's written down for us. It's the backing of Paul, backing of the Holy Spirit, backing of God and Jesus himself. Here's your orders. Do not fail them. Now, I honestly don't think that many, many leaders, and this is my view, I do not think that many leaders today know the enormity of this charge. Because if they did, they wouldn't say some of the stupid stuff they're saying. I mean, you know, well-known leaders, pastors of 30,000 people, teachers of thousands upon thousands, been in teaching for decades, and all of a sudden they come up with some stupid idea that the judgment isn't coming, hell doesn't exist, Jesus isn't the only way, unhitched from the Old Testament. You know, this doesn't matter. This portion of the Bible doesn't matter. And what did Jesus say? That you will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. Read it, don't understand it, but don't call it a lie, okay? Just say, I don't understand it. I'd like to understand that. But don't call it a lie. So, our message is quite simple, isn't it? Read and believe. Follow and believe. The message is simple. Right? The message is really simple. The Bible says it's right, it's near you. It's not far away. It's not way up there. It's right here. It's right very near you. Very simple. Jesus Christ died for a sinner, which I am. And I need him. And I need to take that message with me. Because that's the message generally. What's the hard part? Walking out the door. Going about life. Watching my tongue. Guarding my heart, guarding my eyes, guarding my wife, guarding my children, saying something that they don't like. It doesn't matter. It's going to be said to the world. Doesn't matter. It's going to be told. I'm going to walk the line. No, you can't. You got to fall in with a line with this. You got to believe this. You got to tolerate this. No, we don't. And number one, I can't, right? You don't understand. I can't tolerate that. I can't. Because then I'm ignoring the simple message. The simple message. Remember what Jesus said. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. So that's the hard part, right? Here's the simple message, and it cuts really, really sharp. Doesn't it? I mean, two-edged sword. It's sharp. It's so sharp that your friends and your family are going to say, I don't want it. Don't give me your sword. Don't give me your bread. And we weep and scares us to death, doesn't it? It's so simple. Can you just please believe? And they say, don't give it to me. That, and then we go, oh, wait a minute. I thought that message was simple. It is simple. Telling it is hard. Living it is hard. But no matter what, we don't back up from this. This is the charge of God. Do not back up Do not fail him. Because once you start going down the road of capitulation, you are failing your God. And here's another thing. Think about this. Boy, I was reading over this last night. And I thought about this. The Holy Spirit must have given it to me. But just thinking about this. Once you start doing that, you have this conviction and this weight to bear now, right? You know, before you and your Lord Jesus. You know, like Peter. Remember Peter? Went away, denied him 3 times. But what else happens? Once you start capitulating that simple message, you have taken the lifeline from those people you meet. You have no lifeline. You have no message. You have no rescue. I'm not going to say you're worthless to God, because you're not. But he's going to take you through some waters you don't want to be. If you're his child, like Peter, he's going to take him through some waters. And Peter, upside down on the cross in Rome. That's where he ended up. But because of faithfulness. Because he repented. You must hang on to that lifeline. For God's glory. For your sake of that charge. And for the sake of those people you have the message for. And if they don't want to hear you, in faith and love, you pray for them and you keep carrying the message. And the next opportunity, you give it to them again. Because if you don't carry that lifeline, if you don't carry that life ring, there's nothing to throw. Nothing to throw. Galatians 1:6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you. See the problem? The simple gospel. But the fear and the trouble come. Some trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one who we preach to you, let him be anathema, cursed to hell. That's what that means. Cursed. As we have said before, and watch, he doesn't say it once, he says it again. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches to you another gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be anathema. Now, listen, folks. Here's your lifeline. Simple message. You let it weave, and it becomes so much easier when you let it weave into your life. You capture every thought, and you say, you see, that's not right. So then I'm not going to say it. That's not according to the Bible, so I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to do it. And the more that you read this, and the more that you be ye being filled by the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit according to the will of God, the more strengthened you come, and it becomes a part of your life so that you say, man, I can't say another thing. I can't do another thing. I'm not going to cuss this person out. I'm not going to steal that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to not tell him the truth. I don't have any other choice but to walk this life that Paul has walked, and Peter, and now Timothy has walked, and now Paul is, you know, he's starting to lay down the foundations for his death here and say, I'm going to be gone here, Timothy. You need to pick up where I'm leaving off. So don't go around. Don't do anything different. I want you to go to Ephesus, like we talked about, the biggest church in the area. Huge problems, big idolatry problems, big problems with the Jews, huge problems. Timothy, you stay there and you do exactly what I told you to do. No matter what. Jesus himself hung on a cross. He put up, you know, 3.5 years, of course, of ministry. And then he hung on the cross, railed against the world, really, and the Jews. And now, to this day, Jesus still argues on behalf of you, on behalf of those who would be saved. In the face of Satan, he argues for favor. God loves those. He loves people to be saved. Don't let anybody tell you that Christ's salvation is not for the world. It was for the world. It's offered to the world. Not most people won't take it. But it's offered to the world. And Jesus has given, God has given Jesus the authority to save. And then Jesus said, now I send you. Go ye into all the world. And we say, well, he gave this to the 11 apostles because of the 12th one left. So that was only given to the 11, but you have the book in front of you. And by the way, the 11 couldn't go through the whole world, could they? We have to go through the whole world. In fact, here we are in Yankton. Nobody ever heard of Yankton in 2,000 years ago. Don't tell your neighbors that. So how dare the stupidity of men, and how dare we let the stupidity of men break up the simple message? We don't get arrogant. You know, I could talk to you this way. And at some point, maybe, you know, when somebody gets really stupid and up in my face, you know, we get a little bit tougher. But here's, you know, Jeremiah was, the Lord said, I'm going to make your forehead as flint. And he told Jeremiah, I'm going to make you as iron and steel, a fortified city. That's you. And we say, okay, now, friend, I'm going to talk to you out of love and concern, because God has poured his love into my heart. I'm talking to you out of my deep concern. Repent. Change your mind and turn to Jesus. And they will tell you it's not that simple. And you will say, yes, it is. It's that simple. Just do it. The world's problem is they think that there has to be a whole lot more to it. This can't be the only way. Well, why would a loving God send so much confusion? Oh, you can be safe that way and that way, and then we start combining gods and ideas, and we go, that doesn't make sense, does it? And God says, I'm going to send you one simple way. Through my son, a very simple message that's going to upset the whole entire universe. The world's problem is they don't think they need that simple message. They've got to have more. There's got to be more to it. And there isn't. We're going to pick up the next session next week. We worship you, Lord, for making it so easy. And yet, because of our sin, it is difficult. Because of Satan, who has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe, it is difficult. So, but the message is simple. And our charge is simple. But we need your Holy Spirit and your power to carry it out. None of us are Paul or Timothy. We can start comparing ourselves with people who have this message or can do that. But that's not what you've done here. You've given each one of us a name, each one of us a place in history, a place in our families. You've given it to us. You've appointed our days. So, Lord, appoint our charge. Appoint this message and appoint the power for us to realize this message and to carry it out. We love you for the opportunity. We praise you for being children in Jesus' precious name. Amen.